Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Businesses all around the region have been asked to pivot and make a change to their business models.
And while many have done or is working on doing so, in a recent survey by SAP, it revealed that 40% of some 4,500 Southeast Asian business leaders that were polled were adopting a wait-and-see approach in response to this pandemic.
Interesting. The survey also found that 83% of respondents said parts of or all of the business will significantly change during or following COVID-19, with the top three business areas that they feel should be prioritized being business transformation, enhancing customer engagement, and making business processes more efficient.
Mm-hmm. So why are businesses in the region adopting a wait-and-see approach?
Why are they reluctant to pivot their business model? Well, let's find out from Rachel Barger, who is President and Managing Director, SAP Southeast Asia. Rachel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you both?
Not too bad. Nice and cool in the studio this Wednesday morning. But let's talk about this new poll across Southeast Asia. What else could you tell us about it? And really, what was the main aim of it?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a really exciting week for SAP in Southeast Asia. We actually are doing our first of its kind, totally virtual online customer event called Forward Together 2020. And as part of that event, when individuals were registering, we asked them for their perspectives on their own businesses and the state of the economy. And I think that's where, as you called out, we found out that close to 40%, so 4 in 10 businesses, are taking a wait-and-see approach. And why I think that's interesting, just as you said, it's over 80% of businesses think that things are going to change. Yet a lot of businesses are taking no action. They're not transforming. They're not innovating. And what we've really seen through experience coming through other economic downturns is that those that are taking a wait-and-see approach, they may not survive. They may become irrelevant. They're not going to be taking the actions that they need to build flexibility and agility in their business to be ready for what's next.
Is there any specific sector where these 40% of the wait-and-see group are coming from in your poll?
No, actually, the exciting thing about the poll, because across SAP, we work with over 25 industries all across the globe, It really was across industry. And it was also across the ASEAN bloc, too. And I think what was really interesting is that regardless if it was Singapore, Vietnam, Thailand, the representative sample set and the results really stood up. That was really indicative of all across the ASEAN bloc.
So, Rachel, why do you think they're being cautious in their approach to this?
Yes, very good question. I think it's always hard when you're approached with a situation to take an action. I think a lot of companies, when they're presented with a downturn or a crisis or an issue, there are a couple of behaviors. You can always say, hey, this is going to pass. Let me just wait and see. Also, we see some organizations just saying, okay, well, I need to slash my costs. I need to cut costs now. And instead of really taking the opportunity to streamline their costs and make more, you know, strategic decisions aligned with their long-term plan. And I think that that's the really key point, is that if you all of a sudden abandon growth opportunities, if you abandon your long-term plan, yes, we all have to be, you know, reasonable and make some modifications based on the situation. But if you stop innovating, if you stop transforming, you're going to miss out on market opportunities that exist, and you're going to miss out on changing customer buying patterns, on their changing preferences, on their changing needs. And you're probably going to miss out on a really great opportunity to actually propel your business forward.
And the consensus, you would say, Rachel, will be the same across the region, and more specifically in Singapore as well?
Yes, absolutely. We had actually over 1,000 respondents in Singapore. And actually, we saw there was almost 70% of Singaporean businesses saw pretty significant changes in how their customers have been approaching things, and especially with regards to their buying patterns. And I think that really offers us an opportunity. How do we listen to our customers more? How do we understand what they really need? And how do we continue to evolve and transform our business that way? And I think a really interesting story here in Singapore is actually Food Panda. I'm sure you both have used Food Panda quite a lot, and we're really proud to have Food Panda as an SAP customer. Well, Foodpanda actually uses our SAP Qualtrics solution to understand customer sentiment after every single delivery. I'm sure you've seen it, one of the surveys coming through. And by staying in tune with our customers, by understanding their evolving needs, their preferences, you know, the customers change during this period. Is there something that's more important to them? Is it safety rather than delivery time, for example? If you can hone into those factors, you can identify huge market opportunities and growth potentials instead of just waiting and seeing and hunkering down in your box.
Speaking of business transformation into the digital sense of it, Rachel, here in Singapore, we know that the government is pushing this by giving incentives to companies to try to digitize and move into that direction. However, for many small businesses, this is not possible. If you own one small company, one outlet, how can they take advantage of this? Because most of these subsidies are given if you have, you know, multiple presence.
Yeah, I think that even there are a couple of key strategies, I'd say. Even a small organization can take a few small steps. And one of them is focusing on digitizing customer interaction. There are a tremendous amount of really easy ways that you can either listen to your customers better or be more omnipresent across multiple channels. And I would really encourage that. I think that that's a possibility. The other piece is really taking a look at their spending and not just cutting costs, but streamlining their spending, because liquidity is more important than ever now. I think that's very, very important. And then the third piece is that even, you know, small businesses, they have employees. Those employees are needing to perform at their best in their job function. There's some really simple ways that these type of organizations can listen to their employees, understand how they can be enabled better to do their job and move forward. And I'd say one thing, at SAP, we've really tried to be a part of the solution. So we actually have a page, here's how we can help page, where we offer complimentary access no matter the size of the organization. And we've actually been able to engage a lot of SMEs in this area to access some of these very solutions that I just talked about. Ariba Discovery to identify new sources of supply. That's still important for most SMEs. Or listening to customers better, listening to employees better, understanding the brand better.
Rachel, I know you brought up the Foodpanda example, and I think it's great because it's something we can all relate to. But this whole idea of successfully pivoting amidst COVID-19 and using some of the tips that you have mentioned as well, is it fair to say that certain sectors tend to pivot better than others or tend to react better than others?
You know what? I've actually, we've done a number of studies and we've collaborated with others, and we found that it's actually independent of industry. Now, there are some industries that are, if you're a B2C industry, maybe there are certain ways that you can engage your customer a little bit differently, but it's still the same engagement. Whether you're a B2C or a B2B, you still need to listen and understand to your customers. I think a couple of things that I'd really focus on is you have to achieve resiliency.
Okay.
And one of the key ways to do that is through supply chain and operations. We all know that global supply chains have been disrupted, and that is really regardless of industry. How do you make sure you have the resiliency and the flexibility to make sure that you can actually deliver on the promise that you've made to your customer, that you can have things delivered efficiently, on time, as expected? I think the other piece is a real focus on delivering profitability. And I think that really starts by seeking and understanding your business. And again, that's independent of industry. When you take the time to have access to information across your enterprise, both real time and historic, your team, your leadership, your general staff can make better decisions, more well-informed decisions, instead of jumping to conclusions, and better plan the course of action. And I think the last piece is all of us need to be acting sustainably. And I think that's something that is independent of where we are in the crisis and independent of industry. Consumers really are looking for this, and there are ways that we can improve our businesses and create a unique niche. And I think by listening to our customers, by managing our resources well, and by building flexibility into our business to be agile, we can do all those things.
All right, Rachel, what about some blind spots that businesses are facing regarding this?
Yes, I think the biggest blind spot, I'd say, is jumping to conclusions. When you don't have full information across your enterprise, if mm-hmm. you don't have the full story, that's a really easy way to say that, hey, I think I need to go in this direction, but you haven't taken everything into account. And right. if you don't have ability through intelligent technologies to do scenario planning, if you're not using machine learning and artificial intelligence to give you those insights, then you have a real problem. You just can't scale and make those decisions fast enough. I think the other thing that I'd really point out is the connection between the ordering process, how you engage your customers, and the delivery process, how you fulfill that promise. If your front office is not connected to your back office, especially in times when you're digitizing your business, you can start mm-hmm. digitizing, you can start getting orders in the door, but if you can't fulfill them, you're going to create a really terrible experience for your customer. And in times like these, you may be getting your first customer because of some actions that you've taken, some unique niche that you have. But if you can't give them a fantastic experience all throughout the process, if you're only focused on the front end, on the customer interaction, you've missed the most important part of the interaction where they actually get what you've promised them. So I think those are two really important blind spots that I'd encourage everyone to think about.
It's interesting you bring that up because we have seen cases over the past couple of months of businesses that have been daring enough to start a business during mm-hmm. COVID-19. But Rachel, to wrap things up, does SAP have a view on how recovery might look like?
Absolutely. I think that where we're seeing is that there are most certainly opportunities out there, and there are opportunities to grow, there are opportunities to gain new market share. And I think that what we see is that companies that are focused on transforming their businesses, even now, to be ready for what's next, and that are focused on continuing to innovate, to making innovation a core part of their business, not an afterthought or a side project, those are the organizations that are really going to push through. Those are the organizations that are going to continue to have the flexibility and the agility to be ready for what's next, to take advantage of the opportunities. And I'd really encourage that there are many types of innovation. You can innovate as simply as working through a robotic process automation initiative to really streamline manual processes, make it easier for your employees to do value-add work, make them happier to not have to do so much paperwork. You can be bold enough to look at other industries, and that's really where we love to help businesses. Look across industry, see innovation that for example, a manufacturing company is doing with a digital twin, and apply that to a food service company or apply it to a stadium operation. And finally, be adventurous enough to really listen to your customers, listen to the market, be open to those new business opportunities, and innovate a new business model. And that's where it becomes really exciting. So we are bullish on the opportunities for those who decide to innovate and transform. But for those that decide to wait and see, I think it can be a real fight for survival.
All right. A lot of positive thoughts there. And definitely lots to listen to. We've been speaking with Rachel Baga, who is President and Managing Director, SAP Southeast Asia. Rachel, thanks so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.